Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app as well. Dustin Hawkins with here. Bob Flounders is with me as well. I'm filling in for the great Andrew Pichet. Ross Tucker will be joining us momentarily. We're going to get into some things specifically for Ross, as we usually do. Tucker's tape is coming up right after this, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. We're going to compare my 2018 recruiting class rankings with his and see just where we were on those. Ask Ross, brought to you by our good friends at 409tailgateclub.com, is coming up a little bit later in the show, and we're going to round out this edition with a little spring stock watch with Bob Flounders. Who's up, who's down, who's making some noise at Penn State spring practice as we're starting to wind down the spring session. And Bob, we're winding it down, but we're winding James Franklin up after Wednesday's practice. He was not happy at all with what he saw. What was he so upset about?
Yeah, James rarely bares his fangs to the media in terms of unhappiness to the team. He's always, obviously after 5 years, you know, his image is one of an upbeat, everything's good, we're going to work really hard, we're going to love these guys, we're going to get better, gonna get all that stuff. And to a large part, that is kind of how he is. But I think he saw something he didn't like for an extended period of time during Wednesday's practice, and it culminated with they were finishing up a drill, trying to get better at a certain phase of the offense that surfaced in last year's Ohio State loss, the 39-38 loss in Columbus, where they basically went four and out, down one. The offensive line got overwhelmed. He kind of went over that specific situation at the end of practice Wednesday, and he wanted to see them handle it better. And instead, I believe Trace McSorley threw a long pass to tight end Danny Dalton, who caught it, but he fumbled it going into the end zone for a touchback. And that was the capper, I think, to something he had seen in terms of focus and just too many mistakes, penalties, you know, careless errors. Trace got upset right after that play too. And clearly James wanted to make a point afterwards, and he said, you know, we have a standard now at Penn State after the last 2 years. We won 22 games. We won the Big Ten title 2 years ago. We've been to big bowl games, and this is unacceptable, and it's going to stop now. He did say ultimately it's on him and his coaches, so I'm sure the meeting rooms early in the morning are not going to be pleasant for his coaching staff in terms of getting them ready to play. But there's nothing wrong, I think, with James just kind of reminding his team that it's just not always going to be, you know, there's going to be some tough love and you're going to be held accountable. And I think the other key, Dustin, is he wants his team leaders to emerge and not just lead by example. And he knows Trace is obviously somebody who's starting to become more vocal. He wants to see it from some other players. He thinks Nick Scott can do that. But he was sending a message. He did also make it clear that he thought overall the spring has gone very well, but he wanted to nip this in the bud. And I bet you know, the last couple of practices of spring, he's going to have – the coaching staff's going to have the players' full attention.
You got to roar once in a while. I think positivity is great. I think controlling something you can control probably irks him a little bit. And then you lump it into that sort of disappointment that comes with that game situation, and I can see how he'd be upset. One other thing that I think is interesting is Brandon Polk, DeAndre Tompkins, and KJ Hamler, how they're mixing and matching. Who's in the slot? Who's outside? Mm-hmm. Are they building this wide receiver core to be flexible, and why are they doing all that? That's been one of the bigger topics of the week.
Yeah, they're cross-training the wideouts. They're probably going to have to lean on the depth a little bit more this year with the tight end picture still not really in focus with Mike Gesicki around. So you're seeing some cross-training. I thought it was interesting to note that Polk has been moved outside a little bit. KJ Hamler has obviously been the talk of spring for breakout purposes. Everyone's talking about him. But also noting that DeAndre Tompkins, who's been an outside receiver, working out of the slot, gives them some more options in terms of training for, I think, August. And I just think that they really are very high on Justin Shorter, and they probably view him as a player that can maybe play right away. And if he does play right away, he would be an outside receiver. So if you like Tompkins, you want to maybe give him some access to the slot so you can get Juwan Johnson, Tompkins, and Shorter on the field all at once.
What is this all going to look like come the fall? Is Hamler forcing the issue here, or are they just building in some flexibility, or is it some other scenario?
Yeah, well, I think they're trying to build a little depth at the position. Obviously, Deshaun Hamilton and his senior year is going to be pretty tough to replace. He had 9 touchdown catches. He had the big bowl game in the festival. He was their most productive receiver the second half of the year, and I think that surprised a lot of people. Maybe not James, maybe not Deshaun. But other than Juwan Johnson and DeAndre Tompkins, I mean, they got to have some other – and you don't have Gesicki. They got to have some other options to kind of scare a defense. You know, they don't have Saquon Barkley back there in the run game, and they don't have Deshaun in the slot. Saeed Blacknall's gone too. He could kind of scare defenses when he was focused and motivated. But I just think they need to identify some more guys that can stretch the field. Hamler is definitely following the pattern established by Juwan Johnson last year, where he's the first name out of everyone's mouth about the breakout guy. So I think you have to believe that he is a top 4, top 5 receiver at the very least, and he could wrest away the slot job at the start of the year. I think it's fascinating, and I think they're trying to cross train some of these receivers. Tompkins outside, also working inside. They have Polk now outside. I do think, but when all is said and done, I'm really anxious to see what James and the coaching staff says about Shorter in August. I think he will give them some options, because all indications are he's a guy that can hit the field running. But Hamler is a guy now, not so much in the spring game, but you want to hear them continue to talk about him like this in August. He can't be just a couple of weeks, but he's been a guy. Him, Danny Dalton, has been another guy that they've talked about. Now Michael Mannett is starting to come out. You don't hear a lot of praise for any defensive players, but I thought it was telling that he said, it looks like the starting safeties, unless they get hurt, are going to be Garrett Taylor and Nick Scott. I had high hopes for some of the younger safeties, but it just appears like they still have some work to do.
It's the Keystone Kickoff Show, talking some Penn State football, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. And, yeah, the wide receiver picture is going to be interesting. And what happens, I guess, if Justin Shorter bursts onto the scene, he arrives in June in training camp, he's a standout, because I haven't seen anything to suggest that he won't force the issue as soon as he gets there. I think that has to be why there's cross training going on. And that's how I interpret Brandon Polk, DeAndre Tompkins, getting cross trained so you can mix and match these guys, go 4 wide, go 3 wide, put different guys on the field at a different time. KJ Hamler and those guys can threaten the defense unlike some of these other guys can. So it's interesting. A lot, maybe more bodies than positions.
Yeah, and for the fans, I just want to say this to the fans. So at the blue-white game, if it's a nice day, don't expect a lot of explosive plays, because there's not a lot of quarterbacking that's going to be going on to really maybe – there's not going to be any hitting. Tommy's not going to play. Trace is probably not going to play. So you're going to see – it's going to be great to see Sean Clifford, but I just don't know that they're going to be in a hurry to show a lot of what they can do. But I do think – I think it'll be a very – one of the more interesting August practice sessions, because of the return of Tommy, what they do with him in a non-quarterback role, and will Justin Shorter – make a big leap early where they say, look, we got to get him on the field.
Let me ask you this about two other positions, tight end and middle linebacker. I'm going to ask you from 1 to 10, your concern level, 10 being the highest, 1 being the lowest at each of those positions at this stage of the spring.
Yeah, so 10's the highest, 1's the lowest. Okay, so I'd be more concerned about tight end, absolutely. I think the concern level probably would be I would probably somewhere around a 7. Mm-hmm. I do think that a healthy Tommy Stevens kind of takes a little bit of the responsibility off of them. But the question is, when you do play a tight end, A, can they threaten the defense as receivers, but can they block? I look at those guys and they just don't look very big at all. I think they're going to redshirt Zach Kuntz. I really do. And again, we're talking about cross-training receivers, Dustin, and I think that you could see some 4 wide receiver. I mean, Juwan Johnson's bigger than most of the tight ends already.
Yeah.
So he's going to be – he's an irreplaceable part. Shorter's a big guy. DeAndre Tompkins is definitely a feisty guy. He did some nice things in the run game as well. The middle linebacker position, I think if you take Micah out of the equation, I think you're really talking about two players now. I know Ross is a big believer in Jan Johnson. I think it's Brooks, and I think it's Cooper. And I think in a perfect world, athletically, you want – Ellis Brooks on the field. You really do. But you also have to remember they're going to play a lot of nickel with two 4-2-5s. So Cole Farmer's going to be one. And is Cam Brown a guy that you want to keep on the field, or do you want to keep your middle linebacker on the field? I think that's probably closer to a 5 or a 6 for me. I do think Brent Pry and that coaching staff can get guys ready to play. And I do think – I don't know how often you'll see a lot of 3 linebacker sets.
Yeah,
I think you'll see a lot of 5s, especially with Lamont Wade and his flexibility. And he's also a pretty physical player. He's a guy that's not little. He's just short. You know what I mean? He's a guy that can hit. So we'll see. I do think tight end is starting to watching the way they've been practicing. That to me is starting to become one of the biggest concerns for me.
Yeah, and they have the 2 tight ends in this recruiting class, but I'm not sure. You know, Zach Kuntz got there in January, which is great. Is he going to be ready to block anybody come the fall? I'm not sure about that. Speaking of blocking, one last topic here for News and Notes. Connor McGovern, a little early in the week, said it's basically this offensive line's time to dominate. The question, I guess, is that correct? I think James Franklin, how bullish he was last year, has people still remaining a little skeptical, but just looking at the talent and experience, this would figure to be a time that they could dominate.
Yeah, and the fact that they have Trace at quarterback, I think, and kind of getting guys getting the right play called – that's going to help, and I think it's great, and I do think they are a deeper team. I think that they feel better about their 6th and 7th guys in case somebody gets hurt. But having said that, you know, the first time on 3rd and 1 they run the ball for a -1 yard, it's the fan base is going to go. You just know how it's going to go because there's no fullback. The quarterback doesn't sneak the ball. He's going to be lined up in the shotgun next to Miles.
It's a little daunting how imminent that is. You know what I mean?
There's no question it's going to happen because you got a new running back meshing with Trace, and there's no lead blocker. And, you know, when it's 3rd and a half yard and he doesn't get under center, and all indications are he's not going to do it, it's going to frustrate the hell out of the fan base. But you have to live with that because there's going to be a lot more big plays, I think, in the future. But I do think the offensive line, this should be their best offensive line.
And I think the hope here is that you lose Deshaun Hamilton, Mike Gesicki, Saquon Barkley, and an improved offensive line could kind of insulate the offense from taking a step backwards. We'll see. I think on paper, this could be their best. We'll maybe get touch on this a little bit. Tucker's Tape brought to you by GoPSURV.com. We're going to take a short break. That is coming up right after this.
Keystone Kickoff from KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSURV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.